hear what God is doing, and I'll share a little bit of that with you too. Right now, let's talk about Liberia a little bit, and we are, see if our clicker works or if I've got the right thing to, and do I want to point this way?
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway. All right. Let's see, that's my, there's Liberia. All right, I'll just, when I click, I'll point at you and no one will know whether it's me or you, okay? Liberia is a beautiful country. Many, many beautiful parts, but it has been through, as many of you know, an incredibly difficult time. And that time meant, and what gave Jonathan Kilcrady the vision for a radio station was, he said, you know, the people in the next village were trying to kill us a few years ago. And now we have to learn to live together in peace and learn to love each other again and learn to be, you know, countrymen together. And you're talking about the gospel. He said, what we need more than anything, we need everything, but what we need more than anything is to learn to love each other and to have the hope that Christ brings. And so that's why, even though sometimes there's food security issues where they are, transportation is difficult, there's no electricity, there's all kinds of needs, that's why we started with a radio station. Because if you don't have hope, it's been said you can live 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, but not 3 minutes without hope. And so that's what Good News Radio at 91.7 FM in Babli, Liberia, is about. There is, oh, did that actually do something? It did. Hold on, I think I did something. There, look at that. All right, so there is Liberia, and we went, now is one of these, this is the area in here is where we're going, roughly in here. Here's Monrovia, the capital city. So from Monrovia to Ganta here, there's good roads that go up to there. From there down in, well, let's just say you're on your own. We took, so it's taken us several years to get to the point of having a working radio station, but 2.5 years ago now, we put 91.7 FM in Babli on the air in Liberia. We had to go through roads like this on our final trip. So we built the tower 2 years previously there in the village. And then on our final trip in to build the radio station, to put up the antenna, to put in the transmitter, to build the studio, and to get it all going and on the air, we had, well, it should take 9 or 10 hours to get into the village. But our experience was a little different. We had a bridge that was destroyed that we came across in the middle of the night. The driver of the Jeep there decided he could make it across. Next thing we knew, his Jeep was almost entirely underwater. So anyway, our 9-hour trip turned into a 30-hour ordeal getting into the village. But the Lord got us there just when it seemed like every time we were sunk and not going to be able to do this, the Lord pulled us through. We had equipment stuck in customs. It literally was stuck in customs until the last possible day that we could have done anything about it, when it was released from customs and the guys we'd had left behind in Monrovia were able to grab it and come to the village so we could finish putting the radio station on the air. So since then, 91.7 FM in Babli has been operating and bringing hope and bringing people together. Part of the design, because there was conflict between tribal groups, so part of our design here was to have different tribal groups involved with the radio station, and that is the way it is. There are several different tribal groups involved with the board of the radio station. This is the guys putting up the solar panels outside the building to provide the power for it, because there is no electricity. So that's how it happened. We worked with a ministry called Galcom from Canada that helped us bring in the solar power and get it all on the air and get functioning. And it has been functioning consistently since then. We thought the coverage area was going to be, and it's difficult to predict in the tropics. We have a good tower. We're up in a good location. We're broadcasting at 300 watts, which is about the highest we can go with solar power. And so we thought the coverage area was going to be something like, if we can go, there we are on the air. I want to show you this one quick. There's the actual 297.9 watts of power we're putting out from the transmitter. And this was our first step to establish the radio station. But here, I got my slides out of order. This is the staff, so the way it works now is I get calls from Liberia at 4 in the morning, and I say, why are you calling me at 4 in the morning? Don't you know what time it is? No, so I had to train them out of that. Mostly we communicate by WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger, and they tell me about their needs, and we do what we can to try to provide them. Obviously, things have been hampered and slowed down by COVID. We had hoped to return there last year for a big anniversary celebration. We were not able to do that. We are hoping to go, actually the last 2 years we would have done that. This coming February, so it's February 7th, will be the third year anniversary. We're going to put hopefully have a big celebration. They are making big plans in Babwe to invite people from all over the area, including some representatives from the government and the senator, to come and be a part of the celebration. But let's go to the next slide if we can. So here's the nation. Here's the map of the nation. Here is what was the predicted coverage area of the radio station. And that would be a great number of people, with several hundred thousand people would be in that coverage area. But now here's what the coverage area actually seems to be. Seems to be much greater than was predicted by the theoretical stuff. So what this means is we have a lot of people from, a lot of people from Côte d'Ivoire coming, which is French-speaking, but a lot of people there are in the Kron tribe, and they are listening to the radio station. There's people in Guinea who are listening. People are listening in Ganta. So what all of these people are saying is, you need more power. We want to get you further. The biggest response we've had to the radio station is, we want more. We want to hear it further. We want to be able to tell our friends about it and our relatives about it, and have them listening. And could we get you in Monrovia? And could we get you way over into the country of Côte d'Ivoire? Big visions of what people want. I want to tell you right now, from my human perspective, those visions are very unlikely. But if 10 years ago, everyone thought this was very unlikely, and it is here. So for the power to increase in Babwe, we would have to be able to get better electricity. So right now there are discussions Jonathan is having with some representatives in Monrovia and from the power company in Côte d'Ivoire to bring power over from Côte d'Ivoire into Liberia to power the radio station. If we're able to do that, then we could look at greatly increasing the power and the coverage. What does it sound like on the air? There's some English. There's a lot of Kron broadcasting. There's some other tribal groups. There's some French broadcasting. The station is on the air basically from 6 in the morning until noontime, and then from 6 p.m. until midnight, which works well with their schedules of how people do things in the village. They can't be on full time because it's solar power. So that would be the other big advantage to being able to be wired, is we could be on the air 24/7. And we could be broadcasting a much further distance. But we'd have to bring in a new tower, most likely. We certainly would have to bring in a new transmitter and do a lot of other things. So if you'd pray about that, because that's not possible. But if the Lord says it's possible, it's entirely possible. So we'll just look to Him, and we'll take every step we can take and let Him work that all out. So please be in prayer about that. What we do see happening, I think one of the greatest testimonies we see happening there is that groups who were apart and differentiated and had a hard time getting along with each other are coming together more and more. They are healing. They are learning to love each other again. And there's been a lot of really godly people there praying and working, pastors who love the Lord and just have a heart for people. And the Lord has been working through the radio station and through these local men and women to bring that all together. And none of this would have happened without First Baptist Church of Willingboro. Your church has been a huge part of this project in Liberia and has greatly been used of God to accomplish this. I say, personally, if the greatest thing I've accomplished in my life is to help get this radio station on the air in Liberia, it's worth it. And I will say to you, if the greatest thing this church accomplishes is getting this radio station on the air in Liberia, it's worth everything that you have done and you have given. So thank you so much. God has taken some of you, you've just been able to give a few dollars here and there. Some of you have prayed so consistently. Some of you have given very, very generously. The Lord has taken all of our little efforts together and turned them into something much greater than any of us could do. And we're asking Him to do more in Liberia. So we'll ask for your help with that. And one of the next things we want to do, so hopefully, and you can keep this in prayer, Lord willing, we're going to go in February for a celebration. We're going to bring a bunch of radios. So typically, a family would hopefully have a radio in, it would be for the family, and in their home, they would have a radio, and the whole family could hear it. But there are a lot of people who can't afford a radio. You know, you can run over to Best Buy and buy a radio any day of the week, right? They can't afford one, and they can't get one. So we can do something about that, and we're going to ask for your help with that. We're going to look to cover, this is the actual village of Babli. This is a picture you will never see in person. This is from the tower, from the top of the tower in Babli, looking out over the village. So if you're living in one of these houses down below, and you're hearing people are listening to the radio station, you're hearing all about it, and you're, boy, gee, I wish I could listen. Imagine how disappointed you must feel. You hear other people being encouraged, people's lives being changed as they hear God's word day in and day out. We can do something about that. I'm going to ask you to join with us. And now Pastor Gary will work with you in the coming weeks about how to do this. But we are hoping to bring in, if we can go to the next slide there, brother. Let me come back to this because I want to get to the next slide. All right. This is an actual radio. It's solar powered, so we don't have to. It is about the size of my phone, but probably twice as thick. That's the size of it. It's solar powered. It's fixed tuned to our frequency, to 91.7 FM. So we can create these radios. Galcom of Canada, again, the ministry we worked with, will create these for us. They also can put an audio Bible on this phone. And that can, as we're working now with some different organizations to see if we can provide that in multiple languages, including possibly Kron, which is the local dialect most commonly spoken, along with Gio and some others in the area. So we can provide that radio and an audio Bible for $30. That's complete. Custom-made, brought into the country, past the satanic stronghold of that is at customs, and into the hands of people in the villages in Babylon and surrounding areas. So one radio will impact a family. In some places, it may impact an entire village if they don't have much to listen to. So we're going to ask you to join with us to make that possible. Now, let me back up a little bit, because the first step in what we were hoping to do was the radio station. And the next step, which we're working with Pastor Gary on, has to do with... Now, Gary, I just noticed I'm standing here, and I do not see a clock. So I take that as a sign. Okay? There we go. So we're working with Pastor Gary, and we are hoping to begin the next phase of our ministry to Liberia, which is pastoral training. This is a huge, huge need. We have good, godly men, people who love the Lord, people sometimes, often they will have a building. Maybe they've gotten some support and they're able to build a building someplace. There were some American missionaries in this area in the past, and they did a lot of good work there and developed people who love the Lord and people who are capable of leading congregations in terms of they are born again, they want to share God's word with people, they want to lead people toward Him. They don't have training. And in fact, this is not just in Liberia. 85% of pastors in the world have no formal training. 85% in the world. So it's a huge, huge need all around the world. And it's a huge need in Liberia. And when someone becomes a pastor, you know, it depends on what they've heard and what they've been told and what they've been taught. Because there's no training, sometimes they may not really understand the gospel themselves. I was talking with John Sorensen, who's the president of Evangelism Explosion, and he's been to Liberia several times, and he told me about one time he did a pastoral training with Evangelism Explosion materials in Liberia. And so he's got a couple of hundred pastors there, and he's training them how to share the gospel with people in their communities. And as they went through the program, so many pastors began for the first time to really understand the gospel themselves. He said 70% of the men in that room realized they were not born again themselves as they went through the training. So without any training, without any background, it can be very, very difficult. Now, most have had some. They grew up in a decent church, a lot of them. They may have had some gospel in their schools, which could happen in Liberia, not like it could happen here. But there's a huge need. So we really want to be able to provide that. Now, if you're a subsistence farmer, you can't take a year off and go study the Bible. So that's why we're working with this group called Reaching and Teaching Ministries to prepare men for the ministry. And they have a three-module program, a nine-module program. It goes three modules a year for 3 years. So they'll take a week, pull the guys aside, and teach them some core, crucial doctrines, send them back, give them materials to go back with, so that their training can continue while they're going. And then they keep on doing that. They do that for 3 years, 3 weeks a year. At the end of 3 years, the men get a certificate, but most importantly, they have receive some really good theological training, and they are able to counter lots of false teaching, which is prevalent in Liberia as it is here and most of the world. There is, I gave you a quick story from my boss at Life Changing Radio, who was with the Bible League traveling one time in China. And they met a man who had been, someone had shared the gospel with him, but he was, well, the guy was a thief. And he'd heard the gospel and he was kind of resisting. He kept feeling the Lord's tug, but he was resisting. And he was sneaking around stealing stuff and he got caught. Well, almost. Somebody saw him and yelled at him and he took off running. And he's running through this village and running as fast as he can. And while he's running, he trips and he goes flying headfirst down into a well. But he tripped on a rope and the rope had caught his foot and it just held him up above the water. So he's down there in the well, up above the water, hanging there by his ankle. And he thinks, this might be a good time to get saved. And he did. He said, okay, Lord, I'm done running. I'm going to follow you. And that man became, in his village, he was the only Christian he knew. So he became the pastor. He's the only Christian. So he's sharing the gospel. But he actually told his people, now, I don't know why, but you have to be upside down when you pray. Because that was his experience. Now, that's silly, right? But if you don't have any training, anyone to tell you differently, you can get some really funny ideas. So it's really, really important. And that's what we're going to try to move forward with. So we'll look for your help in that going forward. That is on hold because of COVID. So hopefully, maybe next year, we can start to move forward with pastoral training. In the meantime, Good News Radio at 91.7 FM is broadcasting the good news every day and bringing hope to Babley. Thank you for your support on that. And if you would turn then in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we can get rid of that slide there, brothers. Matthew chapter 5. And these are familiar words, right? As we had in our scripture reading about being the salt. And fortunately, Gary, I do have a watch, and I will keep an eye on it. Actually, I have a Fitbit, and it wants me to get moving now. So Jesus is right after the Beatitudes. He's just given them the Beatitudes, familiar words. Blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. You've heard these before, right? And the phrase, the salt of the earth. Very common. We hear that in our culture. People who know nothing about Christ will talk about the salt of the earth. And if you Google be the light, you'll come up with all kinds of things that have nothing to do with Christ. So these are familiar ideas. But he says we are to be the salt of the earth. He says you are the salt of the earth. So you are the salt of the earth. I think there's a lot of things that we can learn from thinking about salt for a minute, about what that means for us. First of all, it says you are. So it's talking about not what is seen, but what you are. It's talking about what is internal. One of the things about salt, in whatever way we use it, if we use it to put it on the roads to help clear the ice in the wintertime, if we put it on our food, if we have it, it's used in all kinds of manufacturing for various things. It's sometimes even used in fertilizer in some places. Whatever way it's used, when it does its work, it's not visible. It's not something you see. You put the salt in your food, you don't see the salt. If you see the salt, you're using way too much, okay? You don't see the salt. It's inside. It's working internally. It's working invisibly. And this is where our character develops. It develops inside of us. So being the salt, it speaks about our character, about it doing its work, letting the Lord do his work in us, inside of us. And salt is a common thing. It's an ordinary thing. It's so common, if you go to a restaurant today, they don't have salt on the table. You might want to leave. We just have salt in everything. Salt is used in making leather, pottery, soap, detergents, rubber, clothes, paper, cleaning products, glass, plastics, pharmaceuticals. And of course, it's in the water that covers 70% of the Earth's surface. It's trillions of tons of salt on planet Earth. So it's very, very common. But, so he says, we're like salt. So we're just, it's a common thing. It's an ordinary thing. So we're, okay. So we're common things. We're ordinary things. We're ordinary people. And that's good, because that's who God uses. God uses ordinary people. Chuck Colson wrote a book about the disciples. He called it the 12 Dirty Dozen. The Dirty Dozen. Because they were just ordinary guys who had all kinds of problems and all kinds of sin in their past. But God uses ordinary people. And so he used them in extraordinary ways. So he first of all, he wants to take us, ordinary people, and he wants to transform us inside. And then that works out on the outside. That's when we talk about the light. So it's a common, ordinary thing. It's everywhere. And yet, you cannot live without salt. I had a friend whose mom, who was an elderly woman, had been told she needed to drink more water. And so one day she just got it into her head she really needed to drink more water. And so she started drinking bottle after bottle after bottle of water and glass after glass after glass of water. Pretty soon she was on the way to the hospital in the ambulance because she had flushed out the salts and the electrolytes out of her system. You have to have, actually salt, I'm told, is in every cell in your body. So though it's a very common, ordinary thing, it's an absolutely essential, life-giving thing. If I'm from Maine, and hunters who wanted to cheat to get deer would put out a salt lick, so put out a block of salt, so the deer would come and because you know what? They need salt too. They'd come and get that salt, and then the hunters would be waiting there. That's how you cheat. The other way you can cheat if you're hunting in Maine is just go for moose. They're real easy. You can just walk right up to them. So it's valuable. It's essential. It's so valuable, in fact, that Roman soldiers were sometimes paid in salt. And our word salary comes from an ancient word that means salt money. So salt is very, very valuable, absolutely crucial. The children of God are absolutely essential for planet Earth. Your community absolutely needs you to be you, a child of God, that God is working in and on and through. You are essential to your world. You're essential to your family. You're essential to your community, to your state, to our nation. Must have people whom God is working in and through. So in that way, we are very common and very ordinary, but absolutely essential to our world. Now, and the thing Jesus, first thing he says is, you know, if the salt's lost its flavor, what good is it, you know? So the main thing he's talking about is the flavor of food, of salt, and what it does for food. And back in the day, okay, I'm old, so that means You can't check my memory. So back in the day, I had an aunt and an uncle who had a lot of health problems. I'm sure some of you have dealt with some of these things. And doctors would tell them pretty much if you went to their house, what you were going to get was something fake. Because the doctors told them you can't eat salt, you can't eat sugar, you can't eat dairy, you can't eat eggs. If you get a cup of coffee, it's not going to be real coffee. It's going to have fake cream. It's going to have fake sugar in it. That was how they lived. That was what they had because they couldn't put, doctors thought that's what you had to do. Now we know you're much better off really using real butter instead of that fake stuff. Through that experience, I experienced food without salt. It's not very good. A lot of it. Don't eat green beans without salt. It's really not good. Salt is an enhancer. It brings out. Now, if you overdo it, it will kill it. But if you use the right amount of salt in a food, it brings out the other flavors that are there. You shouldn't taste the salt, right? But it should enhance and bring out all of the other flavors that are there. And that's what we're supposed to be to do in our world. People who enhance the world around us because we're bringing the righteousness of Christ with us. We provide a contrast by our difference. Because we are different people, we can enhance life on planet Earth, enhance the life of your community because you stand for what is good and true and what is right. And as I said, if you don't have the salt, you know it. If you forgot to put the salt in your favorite dish, you probably ruined your favorite dish. Its absence is noticeable. The absence of people standing for God in any place is noticeable. And the evil places in the world are not places where God is working through people. They are places where the enemy is at work and there are few standing in his way. So we are essential and we are to be people who bring an enhancement of righteousness to daily living as we work out our days. So another thing you might think about salt is we're familiar with it. Salt is good for preserving, right? And I read the other day about this guy. He was addicted to salt. And I was reading this article about him, and he just was eating salt all the time. He was addicted to it. And I was very concerned for a minute, and then I thought, oh, I don't have to worry. He's going to be cured. You know, obviously, if he's eating salt, he'll be cured. Do you get it? When you salt things, you cure them. Because a high concentration of salt kills organisms that cause rot and decay in food. A high concentration of salt. If we have a high concentration of salt, of salty characters, you and I, as salty characters, we destroy rot and corruption. We stand for righteousness. We bring righteousness. And we destroy evil and corruption around us by being God's children, by having his character in us. So we can do a great deal to keep the world around us from decay and to preserve righteousness and goodness, but it has to be in us. When he's talking about salt, he's not talking about what is seen. He's talking about what is in us. So this is why your enemy works so hard to make you sin. Because if you're not walking with God, if you're doing your own thing, you're not a force for righteousness. You're not standing for what is right. You're not going to speak up for what is right. People are not going to see godliness in you. And even if you think it's just a private little thing that nobody knows about, it's going to keep you from being an agent for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So your enemy is not playing little games when he's trying to get you to sin. He's trying to keep you from being a righteous influence in our world. He's absolutely intent on doing that. And he will do it if you let him. So as we let the Spirit of God lead us and dwell in his word and communicate with the Lord every day in prayer, he develops in us an ability to be salt, a preservative, a righteous character. It is something that your enemy hates. Also, salt was used, and this is connected to this, is salt actually was used. In fact, I'm going to have you turn to a book. Well, you probably look. I won't make you turn. Never mind. I was going to make you turn to Leviticus, but I'll skip that. If you remember in looking back in Genesis, when Lot's wife turns to look back at the city of Sodom, she's turned into a pillar of salt, right? She's turned into a pillar of salt. When Moses warns the Israelites if they break God's covenant, he says their land will be burned out with brimstone and salt, nothing sown and nothing growing where no plant can sprout. Salt is used many times in the Bible to express judgment on evil. And I want to read a quote for you from Christianity Today, and I did not get the author's name, but I thought this was so good about what he had to say about this idea of us being judging evil. That sounds a little harsh, like we don't want to do that, right? We don't want to. Here's what he said. God scatters salty Christians into the world as a way of judging evil, destroying wickedness, and preventing lust or greed or murder or injustice from taking root. The very existence of the church, preaching and living out the gospel, proclaims judgment against the enemies of God and serves as what Paul calls a clear sign to them of their destruction in Philippians 1. And in fact, this may be what Jesus has in mind somewhat here, because right when he's talking about salt, it's just after he was talking about persecution. So if we stand against evil, against sin, that is standing for righteousness, but it is bringing judgment against that evil. We're saying, no, this is wrong. Now, we're not passing our judgment. We're passing along God's judgment. We ought to stand up when somebody says that it should be fine to kill this baby in the womb right up until the moment of birth, and now in some states are talking about going beyond that. We ought to stand up and say, no, that is absolutely evil, and stand against that. And there's a million examples we could give in our society. But that's a part of our being salt. But again, it comes out of our character. We've got to be that. And then it will work out in who we are. Then he says, okay, so you're the salt of the earth. If you've lost your flavor, you don't do the world any good. If you don't have that character, if it's not in you, it's worth nothing. Just throw it out. And then he says in verse 14 of Matthew 5, he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So the light of the world, the light is, we see light. So the light speaks of what is seen. It speaks of testimony. Now notice he says in verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Notice he doesn't say you do your good works so they see them. You will do good works because you're salt, because they will come out of your character. People will see the love of Christ in how you treat them, and how you talk to them, and how you care for them, and for the others in the world around you, and for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then they will say, whoa, there's something different here. I can see there's something different. So that comes out of our character. And he says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. My mother grew up on an island in Maine. It's a big island off the coast of Portland. And during World War II, all up and down the eastern seaboard, it was like this. But on Chibig Island, they were told at night you had to darken all of your windows because we were afraid that the Nazis were going to find a way to send bombers over here and start bombing our shores. And Chibig Island is right on the coast. There were other there were submarine nets set across the harbor there. There were other fortresses set up to be able to counter any enemy attack. But everybody had to darken their windows. Now, if a bomber was flying overhead, it's not very likely it's going to see the lights from one house. Just a few lights wouldn't really probably be picked up. But if the entire island, if everybody had their houses on, their lights on in their houses, they could see that. That would show up because all of that light together would. Now, you know, if you you head up the highway toward New York, you can see where New York is a long time before you get there, can't you? Because all of those lights together make a very bright light. And that's us. All of us together, maybe by ourselves, one person, it's one light. But if we're all together, here we have a couple of hundred lights. Now we're talking about real light. So it's a picture of us working together to bring the light to our world. Our character works out in what we do and how we love each other, and then it shows up in our lives, and it shows up in our community of faith, and our community in general. And that's, I'm so pleased to see what you guys are doing, to reach out to your community and to feed people who have needs. That's just a great example. But I want to tell you one other crucial thing I think that we need to know at this time, and it's this. God's light is still shining bright, and it is shining bright during the pandemic. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of that. A couple of months ago, I was in a meeting in Dallas with some Christian communicators from around the world. And there was there a couple of people from a group in Turkey. So the nation of Turkey is very heavily Islamic. They hate Christian ministries. These people are always fearing for their lives. And they do have a radio station, but it's always a struggle. And they get lots of opposition from their neighbors. It's a difficult place to be. Then the pandemic hit, and as a Christian radio station, they were not given clearance to be people who could be out and about during the shutdown. So nobody can go anywhere. The country is shut down. You cannot go and run your Christian radio station. So they said, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're here. People need to know about Jesus more than ever right now. What are we going to do? So they cobbled some stuff together in their homes and businesses and managed to put together a network to do some broadcasting online. And to be able to, they did some podcasts and they did some live streaming. And they had, in the nation of Turkey, very, very hard territory, 1.4 million people contacted them for the first time, wanting to know more about Jesus. Because God is at work throughout this pandemic. One of the things I recommend, if you want to get encouraged every day, you're familiar with the ministry of Through the Bible. Through the Bible is an old ministry. J. Vernon McGee started it His broadcasts are still broadcast here in the U.S., but they do a tremendous job around the world. They don't play J. Vernon McGee's tapes in Angola. That shows my age. They don't play his recordings. They take his material, they produce it in the language of the people, culturally sensitive to the people. So they'll broadcast it in Indonesia or Borneo or Liberia or anywhere, and they're in over 200 languages now. But what I want to recommend to you is Through the Bible does what they call a world prayer team. So if you want to check this out, the website is TTB, for Through the Bible, ttb.org, ttb.org. You can sign up for the Through the Bible World Prayer Team. What you get is an email every day saying, we're praying for this country. We're praying around the world for the gospel. But when you get that, you also get a letter from someone in that country talking about how God has been at work. So every day you get a letter from someone in the world saying, boy, God has been working through you. Here's a couple I want to share with you. These are things that happened during the pandemic. A guy in Eritrea wrote to Through the Bible. He said, we are not frightened of this pandemic because we know God is in control. As a result of COVID-19, people were forced to stay at home. Life became difficult. Many were scared. But your program is our friend, comforter, and Bible school in this bad time. God knew of the pandemic. He prepared us for this opportunity to hear and learn His word. I know lots of people here are tuning in because they're bored or fearful. Some have never heard the name of Jesus, but God is using this time to reach them. That's in Eritrea, again, a very heavily Muslim area. Egron in the Muslim-dominant nation of Albania wrote, he said, I had eyes, but I could not see. God's word has opened them to His holiness and love. I was lonely. You gave me company. I was thirsty. Now I'm satisfied. I'm a child of God. This is a guy whose eyes have been opened and now he sees the truth. In India, there's a guy named Kumar from E3 Partners. He reported that they started doing kind of what you guys are doing. They said, okay, we can't do our usual outreach in the community. What can we do to help people? So they started feeding people. And they have fed hundreds of thousands of people in India. And among those hundreds of thousands, 52,000 people that they know of have come to faith in Christ. Oh, wait a minute. 74,000 people that they know of have come to faith in Christ. The 52,000 number, that's a different number. This is from around the world. According to the latest mission statistics, 52,000 people every week are coming to faith in Christ around the world. God did not stop working during the pandemic. And there are places where people who never cared to hear the gospel now want to know about Jesus. Many places. In Russia, they're crying out. I have friends at Far East Broadcasting that work in Russia. They have millions of people that grew up in atheism that are now coming to know Jesus. And millions more who want to know. They're shining their light as in their part of the world. God calls you to shine your light, to bring it out of a character, a salty character that is rooted in Him. And then for that to come out in your love and care and righteousness living that people can see. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You that You've begun a good work in Your children and You will be faithful to complete it. You've not given up on us. You're not stopping to work in human hearts, no matter what's going on in the world around us. And so we ask You to help us to be men and women who are more and more stronger and stronger salt and brighter lights, because Your light shines brightest in a dark world. In Christ's name, amen.